Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, that's nice.
Yeah, and it happened when they got the banner.
Right.
Now it's gonna happen when they get the ring. So I mean, it's something that's inevitable for the Mavs. You know, it's one of those type of things.
So they 0-2 doing any kind of presentation, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely say they're 0-2 during any type of presentation whatsoever, and I don't get it. You know, I guess it's the anxiety. I don't know if it's in the moment or what the case may be, but something's happening during the moment for this team where they can't get the win celebrating last year, I guess, the best way to put it.
It's hard to stay focused.
So do stay.
Big old heavy ring on your hand, huh?
Yeah, yeah, I would agree to that. So do stay tuned for that because we will have Kevin Love on as well as Derek Williams also from the Minnesota Timberwolves. A good game last night. Before we get to that, let's go ahead and get into our hot topics. And, of course, you can always check us out online by going to rfsportsradio.com or by going to Twitter at twitter.com/rfsportsradio. Let's go ahead and get our show started real quick. And I want to talk a little bit about Peyton Manning. We talked about it on last show this past Tuesday. And the deal with Peyton Manning, as we discussed, was whether they're going to keep him or not. Now, they have hired a coach. They hired Chuck Pagano, with a P. He was the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens this past season. His only year as defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. He's been a longtime assistant in the NFL for quite some time. He's a defensive-minded coach. He gets the coach job. So now you look at Jim Irsay as the owner. He's taking out Bill Polian as a GM. He's taking out Jim Caldwell as a coach. Now has a defensive-minded coach. Has the number one pick in the draft. Does that sign of him bringing in a defensive coach really mean that Peyton's days are numbered as an Indianapolis coach?
Well, next year we're going to see a brand new coach team. My understanding is they're ready to clean house right now. Anytime you go 2-12, you know, heads are going to roll. The only bad thing about this whole thing is it's going to play out in the public eye.
Yeah.
And that's the bad thing. Everybody who's anybody knew that Peyton Manning was due this money. It was
right.
No secret to anybody.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen this a lot in sports. Somebody's going to renege. You know,
it always happens. It's just one of those things that's so hard to kind of tell what's the best course of action to go. This guy has brought you to the promised land, brought you a title. Right. And it's one of those situations where I feel like Peyton Manning has always been the best quarterback in the league. To me, there's no other person that gets on that field and reads the defense quite like Peyton Manning is able to do. But with a defensive coach coming in board, now I'm starting to kind of waver a little bit on whether he will come back or not.
And, you know, I can understand bringing the coach on because they want to be a tougher team.
Right.
You know, they were very, very soft this year.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the ugly part of sports. You know, this is what the money's due. You know, making the decision about a player. Is he too old? Can he still play? You know, this reminds me of Joe Montana.
Yeah.
You know, I thought he would always be a San Francisco 49er.
Right.
But it was a big stink back then. You know, you were a little younger then. You might not remember that a lot. But. Mm-hmm.
No, I remember that. Joe Montana going to the Kansas City Chiefs.
He ended up going to Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And ended up finishing his career in Kansas City.
Right.
I feel bad for Peyton, you know, because of what happened to him.
Right.
But at the same time, I think he's due.
Think he's trying to move on?
Well, not necessarily. The thing is, I don't think he's going to be a coach next year. Personally, I really think it's not going to happen. I hate to say it, unfortunately. For the coach and the fans.
Right.
And they have the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And that's why the talk is so big, because the Super Bowl is right there in his backyard. You know.
But if anybody in the NFL is due, it's Peyton Manning, man. The guy, you know, is a great player. Great. He dealt so much for that franchise. How can you let somebody like that go?
That's
the hard part, man.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. We discussed on Tuesday, if you have plans to move on and you know that Peyton Manning has maybe 3 good years left on him, what better time to move on than right now? You got a new GM, you got a new head coach, a defensive minded, you got the first pick in the new draft. This is the time, if you decide to move on, that you have to move on right now.
Right, and you're absolutely right. This is, okay, let's look at it like this. What if the Lakers got rid of Kobe Bryant? And we know it's going to come a point,
mm-hmm.
you know, in his career where it's going to be a turning point. Do you
right.
keep Kobe? Do you let him go? Do you pay him the large money?
Uh-huh.
That's why if I was in any kind of sports contract, I wanted my contract loaded on the front. Rather than on the back.
Well, yeah, I think anybody
you know,
would. I
yeah,
think anybody would.
Give me my money up front and the back end because nothing is guaranteed in
right.
sports, you know.
Right.
You could play a month. You can play one game and get hurt,
mm-hmm.
you know. But give me my money up front. And it's unfortunate. And I don't think the fans, you know, you got to think about the fans too.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of guys don't think about, you know, managers don't think about that, but. Well, how are the fans going to react?
The fans, I think, would rather have Peyton Manning come back. You know, if you're in Indianapolis, listen to us, give us a call, 214-699-1942. We'd like to hear from you guys, see what you guys like to say. This is Sports Talk from a fan's perspective. If I'm a Colts fan, though,
right.
I think I'd like to have Peyton come back. I think, honestly, if I'm a Colts fan, I'd like to have them both.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to have Peyton come back. Draft a quarterback, have him learn under Peyton.
What better person to learn up under?
Yeah,
than Peyton Manning.
Exactly, and I think you know as a fan, you don't. It's not your money that you're spending.
Right.
All
right.
So it's not your $28 million. It's not your money you're spending. So yeah, you want to have your cake and eat it too, and have both players there. And this is having that defensive minded coach come in. I think adds to more of the people believing that Peyton won't be there. The other part of it is during the press conference when they did introduce their new head coach, Jim Irsay took the liberty at the time to make comments to the effect that he didn't like some of the comments that Peyton made in an interview with the local newspaper saying that the morale in the locker room was low at times, you know. And I think Peyton was stating the obvious. I mean, I don't think he was taking a shot at the team, you know, but when you go to a point where you lose so many games, your confidence, your level of morale is going to dip. And I think he was being honest about that.
Well, it's just like being in a courtroom. Everybody wants to be right.
And yeah.
Everybody wants people to get on their side. It's going to play out in the public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like that. You know, a lot of things should be remained behind closed doors. But it's like I said, it's no secret that Peyton Manning is due this money. No secret about his injury. But, you know, you can keep him on in some other kind of capacity, man. I mean, he could be a player coach.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, yeah.
We've seen
be
that.
A good coach.
He'd be a great player coach.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. I think he's going to end up being a great coach one day if he ever decides to go into coaching.
I think so, too.
So, you know, why not keep him on in some kind of capacity like that, you know?
Yeah, just with the team
right,
in some
with,
kind of way.
Still with the team. He's still a face of the franchise. You know, you still have your loyal Colt fans,
mm-hmm.
and you still have the threat that if he's a player coach, that he might eventually come in a game or play or may start.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so
you're right.
I think it's going to get ugly before it gets better. What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to get real ugly, and they got until March 8th to finally make a decision on that. We're going to be joined also in the first half of our show by Chris Fisher, who is the host of Test Drive America. And he recently had a chance to go out to Detroit and go to the Detroit Auto Show. He's been to Meekum Car Auctions as well. He's been to the Good Guys Car Show as well. The guy knows what he's talking about on cars. Let's bring him on the show real quick. Welcome.
I think he's one of the pet boys. He's the fourth pet boy.
Is he? Is he?
He's the son that they know about. He's the fourth pet boy.
And I'm just going to bring, I think we may have lost him. If you're listening, Chris, give us a call right back, and we'll get you back on the air. But he's going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff he saw at the Detroit Auto Auction. Well, let's go ahead and get him on real quick. The host of Test Drive America, Mr. Chris Fisher, welcome to the program, sir. Welcome to RF Sports Radio. How are you tonight?
Good. How about yourself? How are you guys doing?
Doing really well. I know you're feeling good. Your Patriots are in the Super Bowl number one. But I do want to talk to you about cars, if we can. You had a chance to go to the Detroit Auto Show and see some of the new automobiles out there. So tell all the people listening, what can we expect? What's on the horizon? What wowed you? And talk a little bit about the show itself.
Well, I mean, it's you know, it's kind of maybe commonly known as the Detroit Auto Show, but I mean, really the technical term would be the North American International Auto Show. It's basically the biggest auto show in the world, pretty much, where all the big manufacturers debut a lot of cars. I mean, really the thing now is pretty much more efficiency, more power. So you'll see a lot of good cars coming out, things like the Ford Fusion, which is a really nice car that's been totally redesigned from the ground up. That's going to be coming out, new hybrid version. So a lot of technology is always in Ford. Sync system has always been successful pretty much since it came out, and it can only get better. You have Cadillac launching a new ATS. It's going to be a great model coming out this year. Escalade has been revised a little bit, just kind of some LED for the front back lights. Also a third brake light at the top. Then you have kind of some of the more wild vehicles. Audi had a really nice lineup. They got an all-new S7 model, four-door, nice four-door. And they also have the A5, which I know everybody's familiar with. It's now going to be available in a Cabaret version, which is going to be really nice. So, you know, you can drop that top. As if A5 wasn't fixed enough, right? So the... Another manufacturer coming out with some good stuff is definitely, I would say, Bentley. You know, Bentley, which, of course, is one of your favorite cars.
Absolutely. The Bentley Coupe is my favorite car.
Yeah, absolutely. That Continental.
So
they have a new version.
No object, the Bentley Coupe is the car I would like to have, yes.
Oh, yeah. The Bentley Coupe has been totally kind of revised, actually. They got a... Not only is it available in the V12 version, it's now available in the V6. Mm-hmm. I mean, not V6, I'm sorry, but the V8 model, which is, they're taking about 400 pounds off the car, so it definitely handles a lot more agile, a lot more upgrades. They blacked out the front grille, front fascia, and they've got, it's a little bit slower. I mean, the V12 was roughly about 4.2 seconds, 0 to 60. This was about 4.6 roughly, so it's a little bit slower, but a lot more fun to drive. I mean, 400 pounds off the car, I mean, you can imagine the handling in that thing. You know, so it's definitely a nice automobile. I mean, the weight ratio is almost perfect. The weight ratio is 49 in the front to 51 in the back, which is, I mean, pretty much almost as perfect as you're going to get as far as car, you know, weight ratio from front to rear. And the SL was another model, too, that kind of blew my mind. Talking with some of the guys at Benz and seeing some of the things they did with that model, they've integrated things like a lot of aluminum parts, lighting up the car. They're taking about 400 pounds off the car. They bumped up the horsepower from 385 last year, bumped it up to about 425, I think. And they've integrated things like the speakers into the frame so that way you get more sound dynamics from the speakers while you're riding in the car. It's got more butt room, more leg room, more head room. They got great features like if you have the car, if you have a key in your pocket and you walk up to the back of the car, you wave your foot under the bottom of the vehicle and it'll let the top up or let the trunk open. Wow. Different options that you can do. So, I mean, it's crazy. A lot of technology, a lot of good stuff coming out. So,
right.
I'm excited.
And Chris, I have a question for you. Which was more appealing? Was it the cars or the models?
I would probably have to say both. Lincoln had a great mixture of both. I would definitely have to say anybody that went by the Lincoln, pretty much the Lincoln area, knows what I'm talking about. You are not disappointed in Lincoln.
And we should say that, of course, you cover a lot of the cars, the car shows, things of that nature. But you also coming up this new NASCAR season, going to be working with NASCAR and covering that as well too, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely looking forward to that. That's going to be in April. Actually, we're going to go back out to Texas Motor Speedway. Should be out to Texas Motor Speedway quite a bit this year, actually, because we got another good guy's Lone Star Nationals car show going on in March, I believe, and then April they crank up with the NASCAR, which, I mean, that's always going to be exciting. I mean, I'm pretty
Chris,
much
what can we expect,
so excited to go.
Coming from Test Drive America in the future?
Well, pretty much just, you know, basically, you know, any event that's going on that definitely needs to be covered, you know, we're going to definitely cover it for you, keep you posted with, you know, news as far as autos and just, you know, anything auto. I mean, how-to videos, so if you're looking to do anything from your car, we have how-to videos online. We have videos about new cars. We're going to get into maybe test riding some new lineups and definitely just, you know, keep aware of anything auto. I mean, hey, just keep watching. You know, you never know. You might see us on cable before the end of this year. You never know.
All right, so if you want to check that out, the footage of the Detroit or North American International Car Show, as I've been corrected on, make sure you go to youtube.com/testdriveamerica or testdriveamericatv.net to look that up, and also follow me on
com.
I'm sorry, testdriveamericatv.com, or follow him on Twitter at twitter.com/testdriveamer.
And I just have one thing to say to you, Chris. Vroom, vroom. So, we'll
it turns out to be a good year. I mean, you know, Patriots win the Super Bowl. Hey, no telling what Test Drive America can be at the end of this year. And it's a great year so far. So,
yeah, you know, we'll and see. Speaking of the Patriots, let's take a quick break. Thank you for joining us, Chris. Let's take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll get into this Patriots story that's starting to spread around. Did the Patriots get caught cheating again?
Not again.
Let's find out when we come back. Also, don't forget Kevin Love and Derek Williams will be on the show as well. You're listening to the RF Sports Radio Show live on deependmedia.net.
You're listening to the RF Sports Show.
RF Sports Show
live
and on
Deep End Radio.
Happy holidays from Deep End Media.
I got up this morning late again, rushing, trying to get to the station. Didn't have time to fix coffee or breakfast or even grab a lunch. And I jumped in my car and realized, I don't even have gas. I stopped by the Texaco in DeSoto on Hampton and Pleasant Run, walked in, and immediately thought, this can't be a gas station. And I was right. It was Maryland's Fine Foods. The friendly staff there was able to give me a fresh-made breakfast from scratch, also a gourmet box lunch, and not to mention a tank of gas, too. I got to work and had an awesome day, and then thought my family would love to have a break from fast food. So I went online to Maryland's Fine Foods and placed an order for my entire family. And you know what? When I got to DeSoto, it was hot and ready for me to pick up on my way in. Trust me, guys, you got to try Maryland's Fine Foods, located in DeSoto at Hampton Road and Pleasant Run. Give them a call at 972-274-1070. That's 972-274-1070. Or try them online at marylandsfinefoods.com.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Tony Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at AutismSpeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Breaking down sports.
On the breakdown.
And I'm just going to come out and say it, man. San Francisco is lousy. I'm sorry, man. They are terrible. I mean, if you're going to tell me that prior to this game, if I said this to you, DG, prior to this game, hey, man, Vernon Davis, he's going to catch one pass. Frank Gore, he's going to average about 2 yards a clip. You just thought, Cowboys win this one going away. Instead, they had to make up a 2-touchdown deficit, okay? They had to deal with an injury to their starting and controversial quarterback, Anthony Romo. And then in typical San Francisco 49er fashion, the cornerback covering Miles Austin falls down. And Austin takes off and goes 58 yards, I believe it was. And that changed everything.
This is the breakdown. Cutting edge sports talk. Heard only
on Deep End Radio.
DeepEndMedia.net.
This is Media Networks.
DeepEndMedia.net.
Call us right now.
by the BPN Media Network.
RF Sports Show.
Talking sports from a fan's perspective.
This is
Media Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, Rock Fisher. I'm a co-host. Royce Fisher is on the line on with us as well. We just got off the line with Chris Fisher, the host of Test Drive America. Make sure you go to youtube.com/Test Drive America or go to their website online at testdriveamericatv.com. Make sure you give us a call, 214-699-1942. We're going to talk a little bit about more football topics. And, of course, later on in the show, we'll hear from Kevin Love and also Derek Williams of the Minnesota Timberwolves, the young and up-and-coming Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's talk a little bit about football, as I mentioned before. Let's talk about the Patriots, as I alluded to before we went to break. Did the Patriots get caught cheating again is the question. This all kind of started on ESPN's First Take with Skip Bayless and Terrell Suggs, who's been having a nice war of words, let's just say, back and forth between each other about Tim Tebow's how it started. Then it grew into can he be able to stop the Patriots and go on to the Super Bowl. During that particular interview, Terrell Suggs alluded to that maybe there was some type of confusion on the sidelines of the Ravens where they didn't know exactly what the down was for the kick. They know if it was third down, fourth down, second down, they know how much time they had left. They had to rush the kicker out there, Billy Cundiff, who ended up missing or shanking that field goal. Well, come to find out, some other players have made comments saying that, you know what, for the last three plays, the scoreboard had the wrong downs on there. The scoreboard had something different. The line guy had something different. And they may have even not had the correct timeouts listed on the scoreboard as well. Now, before I say it any further, it always going to go back to the coach. The coach should know how many timeouts he has, what down he's in. That I truly understand. But we all know one thing about the Patriots, okay? They're going to take every competitive advantage that they can take. Every one of them. Well, and they're always going to be tainted by the fact of Spygate and what happened.
Well, Rodney, who would take advantage if things were going in your favor? If I'm in a close game like this, I'm not gonna alert the other team or the referees if that's wrong. But at the same time, every team I know of has somebody that keeps up with those statistics. That you should have a right hand man, a man Friday, to let you know about all this kind of stuff. You know, and challenge it. If you're wrong, you know you're wrong, but you should challenge it.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Is like you should have someone on the sideline that does it, right? You should have someone that does it, but at the same time, you know, me and you we've called games before, right? Okay, and in the NFL, I know it's a lot different than what we've done. You still should have the downs correct on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was officiating fault, but you know, at the same time, if it comes to that and you don't have any timeout left, the oldest trick in any sport is to have somebody play hurt. You can buy time.
Yeah, right. There you go. Exactly.
So there are all kind of tricks to the game that we don't even talk about on there that's happened in football. But, you know, you have a player go down and fake an injury. But, you know, I would do that. If I didn't have any timeout left, listen, 23, when you go back, you know, fall down, you're hurt.
Right.
You're going to get a timeout on that.
Right.
You're going to have time to get your guys together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing they can do about that. But it's unfortunate that it happened. We've seen it happen before. But I've been at a Mavs game where they didn't change the score or the timeout wasn't right. And
right.
That stuff does happen. I'm not going to put that all on the Patriots. I'm going to put that on the officials. But it's spilled milk. It's too late. You know, it's over and done with. But
here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, and you're absolutely correct. Before everyone starts calling in,
right?
You know, and again, 214-699-1942. But everybody knows that I'm not a huge Patriot fan. I'm not a Patriot fan. Let's be honest. But, you know, it is on the coach to know what position are they in, what is the downs, what's the timeouts. It's on the coach to know that. Like you said,
right.
Player could have played hurt, whatever could have happened. But even the fact that this is a topic being discussed, not just by us, but by other radio stations across the country, also, of course, in Baltimore is a huge topic as well, naturally so. But doesn't it speak to the fact of what happened during that Spygate, during those years when they were called cheating, the fact that now this is even becoming an issue or a story?
Well, there's going to always be some mystery surrounded by the Patriots because they're a team that most people love to hate. And say what you will about them. People don't like them because they're dominant.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of excited to see a rematch between them and the New York Giants because mm-hmm. we saw the same thing in basketball.
Yeah.
It was a rematch. And actually, the Rangers repeated and went back to the Super Bowl. So you're seeing the same teams dominate. All I have to say to these other guys, y'all need to catch up.
Let's take a call real quick. 5269, you're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. Talking about the Patriots. Did the Patriots get caught cheating? And why is this even a story? Is it has something to do with the Spygate? Your comment.
I haven't heard anything about this story of this cheating scandal. But you have to relay this again. What is this you hear going through the next? I mean, you can't hear everything. You can't believe everything you hear, buddy.
Well, what my question is, and my question to you, are you a Patriots fan, first of all?
Yeah.
But let me ask you, as a Patriots fan, the fact that even people kind of link cheating with the Patriots, does it bother you, number one, and is it justified, number two?
Well, I mean, you apparently yourself have called them a cheater plenty of times. You just called them a cheater last week before the game. Or did you not?
Yeah, yes, I did. And I did get caught cheating, although the tapes have been burned for whatever reason, but who knows what's on those tapes. I even saw a player make a comment today. Hugh Douglas, who's on First Take as well, said that even he thought something was wrong in the Super Bowl game that he played as a Philadelphia Eagle, just the way that they knew exactly everything that they were doing, and it didn't happen until the second half. Since then, no one has seen whatever tapes that Bill Belichick has put together with his staff. The NFL burned those tapes for whatever reason. And anytime the Patriots do anything, it's going to be some type of controversy about cheating around there, Royce, and it's got something to do with what happened in the past.
Well, you know, Rodney, certain teams just have a label. Yeah, the Yankees, number one, you know, that's one team that's been accused of a lot of stuff. The Lakers, Mark Cuban.
True.
Jerry Jones, and Kraft family just happened to be one of those two.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was the Rooney family with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
You remember? And it's just some teams and some organizations are going to always be linked to some. I don't know if it's because they're dominant in the sport or because people just don't like them. But, you know, we saw it happen with Mark Cuban. He was vocal for a while, remember?
He
refereed. Everybody said he tried to do this, tried to make, and Jerry Jones tried to make changes with the NFL. And it's going to happen. It's never going to stop. There's always going to be accusations of them cheating.
But does it?
That
but does
scandal
it, but
was
does
never
going
to leave. Just like the Penn State scandal would
right.
never go away.
But does it taint the Super Bowl wins?
No. No, I don't think it does.
You don't think that does? You don't
no.
think it's no?
no
there's no reason to put any kind of asterisk in no. anything that happened in the Super Bowl.
You know, I could say that about San Antonio, too, that little short season they had. But having said that, that doesn't take away from the game. The game is still played on the field. I don't care whatever happens. It's played between 11 guys on offense, 11 guys on defense, and the outcome is always determined about the scoreboard. Not the
it's just the only people like yourself, right, that can't let it go, man.
Well, in my opinion, in full disclosure, I think it taints what they've done. And because I think it does. If it wasn't a big deal, why would they burn the tapes? If it wasn't a big deal, why would they burn the tapes? Every time that they win.
If it wasn't a big deal, why not burn the tapes?
Every time they
I'm
win,
just saying that
every time
so,
they go
so,
to the Super Bowl,
so the tapes being destroyed makes them a big deal?
Okay, well, you can say the same thing about bad calls.
Yeah,
and
of course.
We've seen
yeah.
bad calls determine games. You know, do you harp on it or do you let it go and you move
you
forward?
You got to let it go, man.
I've seen let calls it go. That cause people championships. You and I both seen mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
But the referees got it wrong. They can't go back and reverse none of that. What's done has been done, and the tapes have been burned. I think they should
right.
have been kept.
Yeah,
and you and everybody else that feels that way, they have plenty of strength.
They're going to always be accused. They're going to always be labeled as cheating.
Yeah,
just like the Penn State scandals. Nothing you can do about that. I know you're not a Patriots fan. It's
yeah,
evident,
nah, okay.
But
well, am I letting my Patriots hatred get the best of me?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. Really, you are. It's sad, man. I mean, you know, you would think out of sports, you wouldn't be so biased.
They earned it.
Yeah. Well, Colin, we thank you for calling in. Patriot fan, thank you for calling in. Of course, we'll be talking to Patriot fan a lot more in
the
coming weeks.
Tom Brady show.
We'll be talking to Patriot fan a lot more in the coming weeks. Again, 214-699-1942. It is Sports Talk from a fan's perspective. Let's jump into, you mentioned Penn State. Let's talk about that real quick if we can. They did go ahead and have the ceremony for Joe Paterno today. It lasted about 2.5 hours. They had about 12,000 people showed up. A lot of guest speakers during that. And one of the speakers for that was Phil Knight, the CEO from Nike, who was there, who took the time during what he had to say, saying what he had to say, took the time to go ahead and go after some of the regents or the brass of Penn State. His quote was, and I quote, this much is clear to me. If there is a villain in this tragedy, it lies in the investigation and not in Joe Paterno's response. Basically, you could look at that in several different ways. He was basically trying to say that, you know, they didn't do their due diligence to investigate the matter. Joe Pa's response was not the biggest issue here. Now, again, in all due respect to the Paterno family, we had a chance to meet some of them during the Ticket City Bowl. But at the same time, before this happened, we were pretty hard on Joe Paterno and the way he handled that situation. Do you feel like we should reexamine the way he handled this situation?
I can agree with that statement because the two couples that are really involved in this have been charged. You know, they didn't do anything. He did speak up. You know, we talked about this the other day. I gave Joe a pass on this one. I really did. It's unfortunate that it happened, but there's only certain things that a person can do. It's up to the investigators, it's up to the lawyers, it's up to the judges, it's up to the system to go after these kind of people. And like I said, the investigation, you know, a prosecutor had this thing 2 years ago.
Right.
And he let it get away.
Yeah.
You know, this could have came out 2 years, maybe even further back than that. We don't know how far to go through the trial stuff.
Right.
But I did give Joe a pass. Because of his greatness, you can't never take that away from him.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. It kind of helped like that. I think it was heavy on his heart.
Yeah.
You know, that really had to do, and his health was bad. But, you know, I gave Joe a pass on this one. But everybody has an opinion about this.
But you think that was the right time to really come out
with
that?
It wasn't the right
comment.
Time to say
that. That's my thing. I don't think that was the right time to take stand on a scandal that big, you know, during his funeral. I don't think it was the right time to take a shot like that.
And nobody had control of what they were going to say. I wouldn't, you know, somebody could have got out there and yelled out anything. You just don't have control over what people say. He should have kept his opinion to himself. It wasn't the time or the place. He could have made a comment after the funeral, you know, or something or before today.
Yeah.
You know, but that, like you say, it wasn't the right time to do that. But to me, Joe will always be great. I'm going to remember him as a great coach.
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, you got to be careful what you wish for in the world of sports. Phil Knight is the CEO of Nike, all right? And it's a lot of people up in arms about Joe Paterno, Penn State, what happened there. You got kids involved. And you take a time in a place like that, on a platform like that, on ESPN, in front of 12,000 people to take a stand like that and try to put some kind of try to clear Joe Pa in any kind of way from a scandal like that, you can face backlash from other organizations. And he has to be mindful that, you're Phil Knight, but you're also the CEO of Nike as well, too. And people may look at what he said, and I would not be surprised if there's some type of group that comes out with a statement tomorrow or in the next couple of days and tries to put some kind of boycott on Nike. I wouldn't be surprised by that at all.
Well, you know,
for making those type of comments.
Well, you know, you're probably right, and I don't think it'll be a big thing because they're kind of like Enron. Nike's too big to fail.
Well, we know that. We know that. I'm just saying, you don't want to take that type of hit, though.
It wasn't about Penn State. It was about Joe. And right. That was the time you shouldn't have brought up anything about Penn State except the reference. He was the coach there.
I mean, he was the only person that stood up there and referenced that.
But the day was about Joe Paterno. It wasn't about Penn State. And they should have left it at that. And hopefully nobody has, you know, nothing comes out of that. But like I said, you can't control people and their opinions and they'll state what they're going to say. But I think it was more about Joe and not about Penn State.
Moving on to another topic, a little bit more happier note, and that was that the Detroit Tigers had introduced their new $214 million man, Prince Fielder, to the Detroit Tigers fan base. Talked to him a little bit. He made some great comments about coming on board. I mean, it's really not that much to say. You got paid $214 million.
Well, listen,
it's not that much to say.
You know, Ryan, who wants to – I really don't want to cut his hand. He's not Albert Pujols.
Well, now, here's the deal. His numbers are right there with.
I understand.
No one has hit as many home runs on average that he has since he's been in the league for that period of time anyway.
That's true. But I personally, and I talked to a lot of other people, think that was really over the top.
It was definitely over the top.
And he's great at baseball. Is really out of control. And I don't want to hear anything about baseball don't have any money.
Yeah.
So that we know that's not true.
Now,
anything about baseball.
Here's what I'm going to ask you, though, because you brought up a great point, and I don't think we really expanded upon it last show, and that's that if you look at what's happened in baseball, they got it right.
Yeah, they got it right.
When they had the lockout and they missed some time, they came back, they got it right. If you look at it like this, there have been four deals in the Major League Baseball over $200 million for players,
right,
correct?
Right.
Two of them been for the same guy. Alex Rodriguez has both of them, okay? But that happens once every blue moon, once every few years, there's a player that gets over 200 plus.
Right.
This season and offseason, you've seen two players get 200-plus contracts.
And there may be more to come.
Two players get 200-plus contracts in the same offseason.
Baseball.
That doesn't happen anywhere else.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't happen anywhere else. You got the basketball players taking less money.
Right.
You have the hockey players taking less money.
Right.
You got the football players taking less money. They got the rookie salary cap, all this other stuff going on. Baseball got it right in terms of their players. They had a new contract negotiation that nobody heard about.
Right. It was silent.
Nothing was said about it. There was no arguments. There was no press conferences. They got the deal done behind closed doors, and now players are making $200 million on contracts.
You know, one thing about baseball, they didn't fold like these other guys either.
Yeah.
You know,
they missed time in the past, but they learned from that time in the past.
You know, I think basketball, I think these guys folded.
Yeah, they folded.
I really do.
They
could have held out, and no season they would have had more bargaining power, I do believe, because the player, the owners, and the commissioner just tried to get anything out there on the table just to get a basketball season done.
Right.
And we saw that. Football players, the same thing. But and here they are giving this guy $214 million.
Right.
Don't want to give Peyton Manning 28.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's to him.
That's a good point.
So
they don't want to get paid 28.
They are
giving away 214. Yeah.
And they're arguing over 28.
Yeah.
You know, so baseball did get it right. Sorry, football. But
sorry, guys.
You get it right. And they make good money. Trust me, they do make good money. But, baseball is a much – guys play a lot longer than baseball.
You brought up another good point. You said it's going to happen to more players. And I think you're absolutely right. And one of those players is right in our backyard. That's Josh Hamilton.
That's right.
Who the Rangers, and we got to talk Rangers baseball. So, Rangers, if you're listening, we do talk Rangers baseball.
Right. Right.
Okay, so give us some credentials. We do talk Rangers baseball.
Yes, too. Love the Rangers.
So with Josh Hamilton's situation, they were going out to Princeville. They thought they could get him signed. Of course, Yu Darvish was their main go-to, get the pitcher signed. But now you face a situation with Josh coming up on his last year of a contract. You want to get a deal done. Don't want him to walk away. If you're Josh Hamilton and your numbers are on par with Pujols, your numbers are on par with Prince Fielder, you watch both of these guys who are a little younger. I mean, Prince Fielder is a little younger than Josh, but Albert Pujols and Josh are about the same age. If you're looking at that, you're Josh Hamilton. Aren't you looking to get 200 plus million too?
And Josh should do that money too.
But the Rangers are not going to. I don't think the Rangers can do that.
I'm going to say this statement, and you tell me if it holds true or not later on down the line. I think the Rangers have plenty of money.
Oh, they yeah.
I really do.
Now, whether they the new TV contract helps out a lot. The $150 million a year for the TV contract helps out a whole lot.
And say what you will, they're not too spendy. And I guarantee you, it's plenty of money in the Ranger ballpark to be spent. And you know what's so funny about baseball? It keeps going higher and higher.
Yeah.
And the bar, you know, think it's at a certain level and it gets higher. And these guys are just, they have to be elated.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see him get $214 million, that makes me think that I can get $217 million, you know what I mean?
Right.
I could get
or 252 million.
Yeah, 252. And 252 could go up to 262.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, the bar keeps going higher and higher, where in other sports, the bar is raised to a certain level, and it doesn't get, you know.
But doesn't the fact that Josh Hamilton, he struggled with demons before in the past. Nobody's documented, you know, struggle with drug addiction at times. The fact that he can't keep more than $20 in his pocket, the fact that he has to have someone follow him to practice, follow him home, which don't get me wrong, he's done a great job of doing it. He hasn't slipped up, he's done a great job, had one lapse at one time, but other than that, he's doing just fine. But his body's deteriorating, and he attributes that a lot to some of the drug he used before in the past. But he plays so hard, you know.
Yeah.
The time he's missed about a fourth of the games every season. But last year he missed games because he slid in the home base first and broke an arm playing too hard. The season before that he missed a bunch of games because he jumped into a wall trying to catch a fly ball.
Man.
Guy plays so hard, so reckless.
And he's a fan favorite. They love him.
He's going to get hurt. He's going to play hurt a lot of times. He can't see in the daytime.
Right.
Can't see in the daytime. Only hit balls at night. So, I mean, with that said, if you're the Texas Rangers front office, who honestly done a great job with this team, to go to two different World Series from where they come from is a great job that they've done.
And with
I trust them. I trust them. I really do. I trust them. If they don't sign them, I figure they had a good reason why. But do you give a guy like that $200-plus million? Do you sign him for 9 years? He is Mr. Ranger at this point.
Yes, he is.
You know, but at the same time, do you do that type of deal? 'Cause I-